Yeah, my daughters remind me often, say, Dad, you're not going to win the world by degrees, are you? One of my daughters calls a PhD a permanent head damage. And, well, it's just a delight for me to be here at Capital Baptist. Heard so much about you. I'm from South India originally. Learned about 3 or 4 languages in South India. And then came and did some studies here at in Tennessee in the early 80s. And went back and planted 2 churches and then did some research. Became a professor, head of the department, studied in Oxford and in the UK. And back again with outreach to Asia nationals, working in about 8 or 9 restricted access countries where missionaries cannot get in. We are training national leaders to fulfill the Great Commission. And it's such a delight to be here. Heard so much about you. The theme for our conference is lost. I hope my accent is okay. Do you understand my accent?
Yeah.
That okay? This is the only one I have, so we've got to match. We've got to manage with that this morning. It's great. It's great to be here. Your pastor has become a good friend of mine, and I almost thought he wouldn't come to service today. I was worried. Hey, you know, you heard of the guy who got up in the morning and he said, I don't want to go to church today. And his mother said, you've got to go to church today. He said, no, I don't want to go to church today. Well, she said, well, give me 2 reasons why you don't want to go to church today. Well, he says, number 1 reason, he said, I hate the church. He says, reason number 2, the whole church hates me. So his mother looked at him and said, you know, son, there's 2 reasons why you should be in church today. Reason number 1, you are 50 years old. Reason number 2, you are the pastor of that church. Hey, folks, listen, we have a little different arrangement this time for our missions conference. Instead of having it spread across the whole month for 4 Sundays, we have condensed it, as it were, for 4 days to have a concentrated effort on a theme I'm going to introduce in a minute. Can you see all the wonderful posters at the back? A lot of preparation has been gone into this. I've been praying and preparing a series entitled Lost. Lost. I trust it's going to be better than the series you see on television, because this is no reality show. This is reality, not a show. And each day we'll be doing exciting things. Now, if you've got your Bibles, would you turn in with me? Now, Pastor, when do we finish? 10 of 11, we're going to finish, all right? Finished, all right. Including the video, all right? Good. You see, in America, when you preach, you look at the clock, right? In India, when I preach, I look at the calendar. Not really. Not really. Time is very important, isn't it? Time. Someone said it's only just a minute, only 60 seconds in it. I didn't seek it. I didn't choose it. Yet it's up to me to use it. I will suffer if I lose it, give an account when I abuse it. It's only just a minute, but eternity's in it. We've got to keep valuable time. Luke chapter 15 in your Bibles, if you could turn in your Bibles. Let me just read this passage that is familiar to most of us. This is the lost chapter of the Bible. No, it's not lost. It is about lost things. And Jesus tells this parable, or parables, a set of parables, in order to communicate the importance of outreach, to reach out to those who are in need. Then drew near to Jesus all the publicans and sinners to hear him. Publicans and sinners in verse 1. There's another group of people in verse 2. Now the Pharisees and the scribes murmured against Jesus, saying, this man is receiving sinners, and even worse, he's eating with them. They accuse and criticize and ridicule Jesus for meeting with the last, the lost, the least, the scumbags in society. Those who were not religious like them. And so in order to silence his critique, Jesus spoke this parable. And Luke records it for us. And he says to them, now, which man among you, and he's talking to an agrarian culture where no nomadic lifestyle was all around them. He said, now, which man among you having 100 sheep, and if he lose one, does he not leave the other 99 in the wilderness? And here's an important phrase, and go after that one. To go after it. It's an emphatic word. Doesn't he make all effort, endeavor to keep on keeping on till he gets it? And go after that which is lost. And here's another word you want to underline. Until. Doesn't give up, does he? Until he finds it. And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulder, rejoicing. Verse 6. He comes home. He calls together his friends and his neighbors. And he says to them, what? Come on, rejoice with me, along with me. For I have found my sheep which was...
lost.
Oh, come on, found my sheep which was...
lost.
Folks, if you answer quickly, we finish early. You can just have that. No, just kidding. Sheep which was...
lost.
Oh, some of you want to go early. All right. And if I say to you, Jesus says in verse 7, likewise, or in the same manner, there is joy in heaven. I mean, angels are having a party, is what he's saying. Over one sinner that repents.
Amen.
Rather than the 99 just who don't deserve or don't think they need salvation. God will add his blessing on the reading and meditation of our word. I'll tell you what we're going to do, and then I'll say that what I'm going to do, and then we'll find out what I did, what I'm going to say. Now, okay, this has come up, is it? Oh boy, it shut down. Okay, you can see everything I'm doing. That's okay. I should have reset that. All right. Okay. Oops. Keep smiling. I have to do that because people don't see me in the dark. All right. The theme is lost. What are we going to do? Folks, we are going to have a series of 5 messages entitled Lost. And then we have to climax all that Pastor Steve doing the crescendo with the Lost and Found next Sunday. That's going to be the best, he told me, in the series. Anyway, Capital Baptist Church, the theme Lost. What are we going to do in this series? Number one, we're going to look at developing a vision for missions. All of us have eyes. Anyone blind? I know some are deaf, but anyone blind? No. All of us have eyes? Okay. You know, all of us have eyes, but few have a vision for missions. And you know, it's not just proverbial. The Bible tells us without vision, people are lost. They perish. And we need to ask God to give us eyes. Eyes to see the world as Jesus saw them. There's a wonderful passage in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35 where Jesus goes about all the villages and the cities and teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of diseases among the people. And it says, and when he saw the multitude, verse 36, he was moved with compassion. You see, first he had to see the multitudes. Then he was moved with compassion. And so we are asking one question today for us to take home. Do you see what Jesus saw? There are several things, object lessons and slides that I want to show you. The gospel is better caught than taught. And I want you this morning to get a glimpse, to sense what God's heart is for people who are lost without Jesus Christ. We're going to look at the story of the lost sheep today and talk about global missions. We want to do it in what we call an inductive way. Look at the global scene and then filter into home missions and then you and I in our commitment to missions personally. Okay, so that's how we're going to do it over these 5 messages. Today we're going to look at global missions, the lost sheep, lost and desperate about it. This evening, if you're a businessman, if you're into some kind of job and you're looking at witness in the workplace, mission in the marketplace, that is the cutting edge. And this evening, we're going to have a dynamic message. We're going to look at the lady with the silver who lost the silver coin. Remember that? She had 10 silver coins and she lost one. Now, that would have been a family treasure that she either tied in a band, in like a headband, and one piece of silver fell down, or maybe a necklace. And what she did. There's a big difference between cost and value. We live in a society that know the cost of everything and the value of nothing. the value of a soul. What does it profit a person if he gains the whole world and loses his own? We're talking about business, our heavenly, our Father's business. And I want to show you this evening, no matter where you are and what business you are in, you've got to make it the Father's business. My wife is a software programmer. I have earned 2 doctorates, and she's only got a master's, Loxanne, in some creative technology. And she works in some software company, and she earns 4 times my salary. God is not fair. But I love my wife. Not for the money. Software. My daughters are very techie too. I've got 2 teenage daughters, and they are very good in computers. They are hardware. My wife is software. I am nowhere. But we are going to see this evening, no matter where you are in the business, in the marketplace, you are witnesses. That's the mission field. By the end of this conference, we're going to see that there's only 2 kinds or categories of people in the kingdom. In God's world, you are either a missionary reaching out to somebody, or you're a mission field and you need to be reached with the gospel. Nothing in between. We're going to see some stuff, a mission in the marketplace. That's the cutting edge of missions. Salt was meant for the salt shaker? No, it's meant for the soup. And that's where Christians ought to be, in the real world, not in church. We come here to worship, but we scatter to witness. We're going to see that mission in the marketplace and ask, will you do what Jesus did? The third time, we're going to look at the lost son, what we call the story or the parable of the prodigal son, the most well-known short story in the entire Bible. And I guarantee you, on Monday, we're going to learn something about the prodigal son that you've never heard and never know in any commentary. It is right out of the Middle Eastern way of thinking, certain attitudes that I will draw to show you the lostness of people who leave the father's palace to go to a pig pen. The pursuit of happiness. Life, liberty, and happiness. You've heard that? The pursuit of happiness. Yeah, this is not just Will Smith stuff. This is real stuff. And you come and see that. This is home missions. We'll talk about lost loved ones and home missions. Some of the greatest mission fields. And I say this publicly. My primary parish is my family. And you know, one day God's going to ask me some different questions. He's not going to say, how many doctorates did you earn? How many churches did you plant? And how many countries did you do outreach? He may ask me, did you love your wife? Amen. Did you spend time with your kids? Amen. That's a mission field. Home missions. I want to talk about that. So you come. Bring your friends. Your friends and your enemies. So there you go. After that, we're going to talk about compassion. There is no mission without compassion. We're going to talk about not the lost son, but a loving father. And that's the key for missions. It's not our focus on the lost. It's our nearness to the Father's heart that thrusts us out in missions. We're going to see something about how to bring the prodigal soul. Maybe you're seated in church and saying, you know, I've got friends across the street. I've got people in my own family and relatives who do not know Jesus Christ. Please come, prepare, read that parable again, the story, and come. Because I'm going to show you how to bring the prodigals home. Finally, we're going to look at, so it's vision, it's mission, it's passion, and then it's compassion. We're going to look at lost saints in the Father's house, like the elder brother, but far from the Father's heart. I want to show you on Wednesday, the greatest hindrance for missions is people in the church. And Maybe you don't want to come. Local church and missions. And we're going to see, not only will you see what God sees, will you do what God does, will you be all that God wants you to be. Okay? Is that clear? That's the series. Don't miss any one of them, because it's a continuum. It's looking at the entire chapter of Luke 15 and studying it verse by verse. I'll be exegeting it and showing you nuggets of truth that you can take home in order to win the lost at any cost. Wouldn't you want to do that? About 5 of you. Wouldn't you want to do that? All right. So this missions conference, turn in your Bibles and let me read the story of the lost sheep. You read that. Let me just comment a few things about the lost sheep. First of all, a little bit about the background. Lost and desperate about it. In this service, my main intention is to show you how desperate people are without Jesus Christ. The analogy, the picture of the sheep is very appropriate. The background I've shown you is Jesus and the Pharisees. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they want to trip Jesus. Why? Because he's chummy and budding up with the last, the lost, the least in society. They want to know as a rabbi, as a religious leader, it's not cool and kosher to go and mix and mingle with these kind of people. And Jesus in these stories are intentionally showing them the importance of mixing and mingling with the lost. With the lost. It's about the lost. It's all about the lost. That's what the gospel is. The light is for the darkness. You don't bring another light and flash it on me. It'll blind me. You go to a dark place and shine it so people can see. And that's the purpose of the gospel. We're going to see how Jesus uses storytelling to show a vision of people separated, sheep separated, a searching God and a saving mission. Secondly, first we ask ourselves, why care? Why do we care for people? People are wandering sheep. A few points about the wandering sheep. Notice that this sheep went astray by its own will. And sheep are dumb animals. They are desperate for, they need to be cared after. They are defenseless. I mean, they're different from dogs. You kick a dog, what it'll do? It bites you back. You kick a sheep, what it does? It goes, man, runs away. It's defenseless. Have you been bitten by a sheep? I mean, it's usually dumb. It needs to be cared for. And the Bible tells us in Isaiah 53:6, you're not going to laugh now, all we like have gone astray. We have turned everyone willfully in our own way. That is the condition. No matter how rich you are, how poor you are, whether you're educated or uneducated, whether you're male or female, whether you're influential or you're pauper. Listen, all of us are sheep lost without Jesus Christ. We need a shepherd. We need a shepherd not only to defend us from the enemies around us, but to direct our lives in paths of righteousness. We need a shepherd. Without a shepherd, we will perish. There is a desperate need for pastoral care. This lesson is to show how care itself is mission. One of the arms of the Lausanne Covenant that I'll be attending in South Africa, in Cape Town actually in October, is this stream called Care or Pastoral Care's Mission. Because people don't care how much you know until they know how much you. It's important to care. Church, could you say that Capital Baptist is a caring place? It should be, isn't it? People should know that we care for them. And Jesus, the shepherd, shows how he goes seeking out for these sheep. All we like sheep have gone astray. But the focus moves from a wandering sheep to a winsome shepherd. The shepherd goes after these sheep because he hears their cry. Isn't it wonderful? We have a God in Christ who not only knows us by name, he also knows our every need. What is your need this morning? Perhaps it's for salvation. Friends, today, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. This missions conference should burden our hearts to come closer to God and draw others to him for salvation. Until he searches, never gives up. He not only goes there and he finds the sheep, he fetches it and brings it back and flocks it in. Capital Baptist Church needs to grow. Not just by people doing kind of musical chairs and so, I like the choir here, I like his preaching here. A lot of churches in America are just playing musical chairs. They're going from one church to the other church because they like the worship in Sunday school better than the previous one. That is not evangelism. That's called sheep stealing. Evangelism is to go and see what exactly Dr. Bertie is doing. I mean, find out people who are not going to come to church and church goes to them to seek and to save that which was lost. One of my expertise is to study comparative religions. And you know, there's one difference between religion and Christianity as a faith. All religions, human beings, seek ultimate reality. Every religion has the concept of sacrifice, of prayer, of holy books, of penance. But there's a big difference. Romans chapter 5 and verse 6, while we were weak without strength, God loves us and sent his son. While we were sinners, Romans 5 and verse 8, God commends his love towards. You see that direction? It's not we running after God, it's God seeking after you. It's the shepherd going looking for the sheep. When Adam and Eve fell in the garden, Adam didn't say, Lord, I'm sorry, I blew it. God comes seeking for Adam. Adam, where are you? That is the God we serve in missions. A God who has a heart to go out. That's where we get the term outreach, because you have to reach out. Some don't get it. We think we advertise in church, come and hear Christianity. Come and hear music. Come and be healed. The gospel is not come and hear. It is go and tell. Outreach. And church, this is so important. Jesus said, follow me, I will make you fishers of men, not keepers of aquariums. We need to go out. We need to reach out to people. People out there need the Lord. It is a wandering sheep, but a winsome shepherd. I'm glad that God called me to pastoral ministry, to win the lost at any cost. He comes back and he says, it's party time. Let's celebrate. Jesus is the shepherd of our souls. He's the good shepherd. He laid down his life for us. John 10 and verse 11. He's the great shepherd of the sheep. Hebrews 13 and verse 20 and 21. Who through the blood of the everlasting covenant, resurrection, is equipping us unto every good work. 1 Peter 5 and verse 4. He's the chief shepherd. He's coming again to reward us and take us where he is. Are you in the business of reaching out? Do you have a vision for missions this morning? What care? Finally, who cares? Do you care? Well, care is mission. Multitudes are helpless and harassed. When Jesus saw the multitudes, he saw them as sheep. And this is what the two adjectives use. They were helpless. They couldn't help themselves. And they were harassed. They were oppressed. You find people dressed up with all kinds of, you know, competent ways to express their solidarity. You know, they've got everything together with society. But deep inside, they are lost. And they need the Lord. They are harassed by sin, by Satan, and a system which is a downward spiral away from God. Are you and I going to be moved with compassion? We get the word mission from the Latin word missio, which means to send. I am so glad that Capital Baptist Church is a sending church. It is a mission-minded, mission-oriented church. You see, I tell pastors all wherever I go, if your output doesn't exceed your income, then your upkeep becomes your downfall. We've got to keep sending out people. Send out the best. Reach the cost. Can I encourage you? You say, Chris, we're supporting missions. That's great. We got 60 or so missionaries. You know, we've done it, right? Can I encourage you this next 3 days? Would you pray and say, Lord, help me to bring one soul to church? Do that. Try that. One to Sunday school. I'm sure you can say, call somebody and say, there's a funny looking Indian guy there in our church. He talks about things from the Bible. I don't know, maybe New Age or some age. Would you want to come and listen to him? I mean, bring them at any cost. Let them hear the gospel. Take it to them. Shine for Jesus where he calls you. There are lost sheep. Missions is sent to seek and save the Lord. To reach out. Go and reach at any cost. Well, I want to leave you with this. You know that if you think about church for every people group, where do we need to focus? There are unreached or least reached people group, which means less than 2% of that language and worldview, that culture, that ethnic group. 1 out of 50 or 2 in 100 have heard and responded to Jesus, evangelical. That is, they know the gospel. What about the other 98? We're talking about statistics. This is Joshua's project from last year. This is the present statistics. Look at that. There are 6,600 such people groups who have never heard the gospel. Or maybe 1 or 2 in 100 may have heard the gospel and responded to it. What about the other, not 99, 98% who still do not know the gospel? Some of these people are living in difficult situations. More Christians are martyred in the 20th century than the previous 19th century. Did you know that? People are giving their lives for Christ. Why isn't it gone out? And yet we find the remaining people groups in remote locations where no one can reach. There's great language and cultural barriers. They practice religious fundamentalism. And they're most resistant to the gospel. Think of the 414 age group. What's happening with child trafficking and pedophiles. Very important group to reach. Think of the 1040 window. Most of them are Muslims in the 1040 window. Who's reaching them? But see the concentration. The salt is in the salt shaker. It should go to the soup. Because that is where the difference is going to be made for the gospel of Jesus. I'm sure every one of you have tasted this. And when we get exhausted, we all have a sip of Coke. All right? Any of you here in our church who've never tasted Coke? Any form of Coke or Pepsi? Okay, all of you. Have you been to any country overseas? How many of you have gone overseas for missions or whatever? Okay, in the country you went overseas, take Africa. Africa, they don't have Coke, do they? They do? Some form of Coke, Pepsi? Yeah. How about South America? South America don't have. Oh, they do? Oh. Church, in the most remote parts of the world, and I've been to about 31 countries, in the most remote parts of the world, there is no toilet and running water, but they have. Isn't it true? Isn't it true? It is true. More than half the world's population have tasted Coke in some form. And here's the challenge for us this morning. More than half of our world, over 3 billion people, have not yet heard the simple claims of Jesus Christ. They are lost without Jesus. Let me ask you another question. When did the Coke company start? Around 1940, 1930, 80 years ago, 90 years ago? All right. 90 years ago, the Coke company started, and forms of Coke are available, and half the world have tasted. Is Coke good for you, by the way? Listen to this. When did Jesus give us the Great Commission? I call it the Great Omission. But anyway, when did Jesus give us the Great Commission? Around how many years ago? Over 2,000 years ago. And yet half our world have not heard the simple claims of Jesus Christ. Listen to me. Are you listening? If Jesus gave the Great Commission to the Coke company, they would have got it done by now. And that is not a joke. What is wrong with the church? This week we're going to find out. Do you see what Jesus saw? This evening, we're going to feel what Jesus felt. Compassion. Because without compassion, there can be no mission. Watch this tape. I'm all done.